views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hey, everybody, this is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and change, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. I'm really excited about today's guest, and let me introduce him. Our guest today is David Gaines, and David is the head of a company called La Terza Coffee, and he's going to tell us more about that in a few minutes. And La Terza Coffee has a specialty and a real interest in something called social enterprise. What I've learned is that on a global scale, coffee is one of the worst industries for workers because many of them are paid unfairly or sometimes forced to work without wages. And David will tell us more about that. So at La Terza, the entire La Terza team, has made a real concentrated effort to reject this system by buying coffee through sources that guarantee a living wage for their employees and the farmers. And so David and La Terza have gotten really interested in changing the working conditions of coffee farmers as a first step toward fixing some of the negative narratives that are actually plaguing our current economic system. So the idea is if we can improve the working conditions of people, we can change, make these kinds of changes in other industries. And that is so in alignment with the whole cultural brilliance philosophy that I couldn't be more thrilled to have David with us. David, welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, really, really happy you're here. And when you and I had a conversation a couple months ago to talk about the show and learn more about what you were doing, I know you shared with me, you know, the story about how you got started in the coffee business. Yeah, so I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, well, the reality is a friend of mine started this business. And when at the time that he did that, I had a small carpet cleaning company, and I started that business so I could also work at a nonprofit. That truly was the reason why I started this small other company. So I could do something so I could eat, you know, and provide for me and my family, but also that I'm just very passionate about helping other people and, working on social causes. At that time, I was pretty split also. So I did achieve my goal, being able to do that. But it had a pretty low ceiling. I couldn't continue to grow in the business and without fully devoting all of my time to that. And I couldn't really go deeper in the social impacts that I was having either for the same reason. You know, I would love to have done that kind of work full time. But I still needed to provide some kind of income. So I really just love business and read lots about it and had lots of conversations and love processes and forecasting and vision and planning and those kinds of things. So a friend of mine started this company, and he had grown it to a place that was beyond what he could do by himself. And I kind of tested, you know, could I be a business coach and explore kind of what that might look like. And what really drew me to his company was this passion for the social enterprise idea that, you know, where we're only buying coffee from farmers that we knew directly or from importers that had pretty significant work done already about helping communities with building schools or creating co-op programs or healthcare. So there was this for-profit thing, because we were definitely trying to just sell coffee to accounts. But there was, the more that we grew the business, the more social impact it had as well. So I got into it through a business coaching angle. And eventually, with regards to me and my friend, he was amazing at roasting coffee, really just one of the better roasters in Cincinnati. And he was not good at forecasting and planning and all the things that I was bringing to the table. So it quickly turned into, it shouldn't be a coaching kind of scenario, but it was something that I could buy with a team of people and then really just put everybody into their strengths. So my friend Chuck was able to just get back into focusing on coffee. And I had a team of people that, you know, rounded out the rest of the day-to-day business. And that's when things really started to accelerate.
Great story. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And for folks who aren't familiar with the term social enterprise, how would you define that?
Well, even if you are familiar with the term, the definition is pretty unknown. There are so many people that are trying to define it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, the way I would, most people define it as, you know, some kind of profit generating organization. And then those profits are used to positively impact social good or social projects. Often, like maybe the more famous one might be Goodwill. So, you know, they're taking donations, but they're using a business style of entity to empower other people. Or very famously, like a Tom's Shoes with a very clear message. There was a buy one, give one kind of approach to what they were doing. So those are kind of some of the bigger names. I would define social enterprise really more basic than that. Like if you rip away kind of all the definitions, at the core of it all is treating other people the way you'd want to be treated. Mm. And in every business has lots of groups of people that they touch. Mm-hmm. So I am actually kind of working on a book on that topic that I hope to publish this year, just on that idea. And every organization has seven groups of people that they work with. So Laterza's story is the supply chain, but it has to just extend to other groups of people as well.
So I love the core of this. Like you said, you took the social enterprise definition down to the heart of the matter, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to treat other people the way we want to be treated. And what does the world look like if our businesses are treating other people, treating others the way we would want to be treated?
Yeah.
And congratulations on your book.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
That you're in the middle of writing, right? I know, not published yet.
Not published yet, but I'm close.
You're close. Oh, wow. That's exciting. Do you have a title?
Yeah. So the title is Seven Seeds of Social Enterprise.
Ooh.
So, and then the subtitle being using the tools of business for social good. So quickly get to that definition. So we just explore all these different groups of people. Through the business of Laterza, I've been able to see, you know, again, the supply chain, but that extends to our employees. How are we treating our employees with respect? How are we empowering our customers? Even how are we empowering our competitors? Because honestly, the goal is that we're all buying coffee ethically, right? So I don't really try to make the ethic something that differentiates us. Most specialty roasters in the country are at least engaged in some level of more empowering the farmer or buying coffee in the correct way. So how do we celebrate that collectively? But also then how do we challenge the roasters that don't have that value to add that. And it can be high quality that has that, but low quality coffee can be traded ethically as well. So, and then just to round out the other groups would be your local community, your global community, which is really an environment. You know, we all share this planet. So how are we positively impacting that? Mm-hmm. And then most people that I know that are in social enterprise or living in this world or even that nonprofit sector, they're built with the DNA of just putting other people in front of them in the line, so to speak. But they almost never put themselves in line. And so they're passionate about helping others and they give 110%, but at the very quickly will burn out or just lose energy. And it's because there's that lack of self-care. So, you know, I've learned that healthy people can help people. And so part of being a great social entrepreneur is making sure that you're taking care of yourself and creating good work-life balances and things like that.
So I love these seven groups. So I have supply chain employees, empowering customers, empowering competitors, local community, global community, and then in your self-care, right? Taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And so this, so, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but there are some folks who would say empowering our competitors. What? Right?
Yeah.
Because it, for many, it flies in the face. I love it, but it flies in the face of, you know, the way we think about running businesses. And so when I hear empowering competitors in the way that you described that, I think of the concept of, that I use a lot in my work, of what's best for everybody, right? So not just what's best for our company.
Right.
But what's best for everybody? Is it in alignment with that?
Yeah. I think that, you know, the reality is these principles, these ideas are pretty black and white. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm trying just to get to the base definition. But the real world is gray.
Yes.
You know, I preach how do we work collectively with our competitors. I don't necessarily always like it. but I have seen the positive results. I have seen friendships form with my competitors here in Cincinnati. And the reality is there's a lot of coffee drinkers out there, you know, that there is coffee is the second traded commodity in the whole world behind oil. So there's plenty of customers available and, you know, there's plenty of ways that we can each differentiate ourselves and kind of find our unique niche in the market. So it's not quite comfortable either, but it definitely is. I've just seen firsthand. I think you can see it often like restaurants that are all in one strip or car dealerships are usually kind of all bunched together. And that's an example of that idea playing itself out. You know, there's resurgence in downtown Cincinnati, and it's just all these amazing restaurants all on one street. They're competitors, but they're also just getting national attention right now because they're all competing and making each other better. It's a little bit of the iron sharpened iron idea as well.
Hmm. Really fascinating. Yeah, and I one of the things that I like that you said, and we're going to go to break in just a minute, is this, so I'd like to come back to this after the break, because I think it's such a key piece to this is, you said it is not comfortable always to empower competitors, right? This is not you mentioned sometimes I kind of don't want to do it, but I am because it's the right thing to do. And I think this is such an important point because to me, it signals the discomfort of changing our mindsets, right? And what that means in business. Yeah. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dig a little bit more into what's it like to be uncomfortable in this way and why that really matters. Stay tuned.
Searching, looking for a sign, a message you need to hear from the great unknown, from the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net, 1-800-323-1790.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Cultural Brilliance. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us today, my guest is David Gaines, who is the head of La Terza Coffee, and which is an enterprise engaged in actually social enterprise. So David, we were just before the break talking about this really important idea of when you make the change as a business owner or a leader to engage in social enterprise, it can be really uncomfortable that there's a mindset change, there's a philosophical change that makes a lot of people really struggle with embracing these ideas. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. We said working together with your competitor isn't always easy. Mm-hmm. And the ideas that I'm trying to really shape the company through this lens of treating other people the way you'd want to be treated, that's a very easy thing to say. It's just much more different in real life. So competitors, one, I just know it's the right thing. I know that at the end of the day that we want all coffee globally to be traded ethically. I think even there is some serious momentum with specialty roasters working together to really bring significant change. And it's because there's so many of us. I went to a trade show last year. It was in Seattle, and I'm one of 1,000 roasters in the room. And I'm asking the question, well, who am I in this space? Like, is the work that we do really that important? And by the end of the trade show, I'm learning about what programs like empowering women to be farmers around the world and what that means in terms of significance, and which is unbelievable. Maybe I'll get to that in just a second, but those programs wouldn't exist if there weren't 1,000 of us in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So like empowering a woman to be a producer in some countries that's empowering them to own the land. In some countries that produce coffee, owning land is what gets voting rights. So it's allowing women to the table for that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, women and that feminine characteristic are much more communal. So this is a broad statement, but the male producer takes his product to market. He gets paid. He goes to the bar to celebrate. Then he goes to the family, and then whatever is left over might be for the community. And that feminine takes the product to market, gets paid, takes the profits to the family, takes the profits to the community, and then whatever's left over will have a big celebration, a big party. So the celebration's at the beginning for the masculine, generally speaking, and at the end for the feminine. And there's one direct trade farmer that we work with that she's amazing. She's unbelievable. She's going to win just some coffee awards as she continues to grow her business. And so she's driven towards this quality idea, but she's also driven to the better the quality her coffee is, the more money she gets, the more quickly she's able to accelerate. She's really passionate right now about building a kitchen onto the school that's on the plantation so that everyone who's there can at least have one really healthy meal per day. and including teaching the parents to how to cook, you know. And it's a, just this whole cultural shift that's happening on this one side of a mountain in Honduras. So that energy would only exist and would only be able to accelerate if, because of working together and in competition with collaboration. But again, it's not easy. So I could say the same thing really about all these seven groups. You know, so if we're passionate about living wages for the farmer and the producer, what happens when sales hit are flat and I have to reduce the wages for a team member here? That's hard, you know. So the reality is that it's difficult to live this out as well. So I think the principles are important to have black and white, so you can clearly try to be wrestling, but I think the wrestling is what's important. And honestly, the small steps, like when I started to kind of play these all out, we weren't really doing all of that much for in the environment or that global community. But the we there was a lot that we couldn't do. I wanted to be in our community that we're in. It's more of an up and coming community that could really use the benefit of a good business. So I wanted to stay and therefore not move into like a LEED certified building. I, you know, and there were lots of things that I could do. I could look at replacing all of our light fixtures in our warehouse space. Well, that was $5,000 at the time. We didn't have that kind of money available. But what I could do was start a recycling program and get a recycling dumpster at our facility. And so it was $50 a month and we could start. So now that has accelerated to us buying compostable bags, to us having our own compost program. So when we brew coffee or make cold brew coffee, all of the grounds we're able to distribute out to different farmers in the area. So that small step was a critical piece in us continuing to push being better in that global or environmental kind of category.
And thanks for sharing that. And, you know, the story of the woman in Honduras, I think it was.
Yes. Yeah.
The farmer there. And, you know, what she's, what her goal is about helping, right? Her, the kitchen on the plantation and helping her community and helping. And, you know, and what your story about, you know, where you situated your company, right? And what you've done with the composting and recycling and all of that. It's in both cases, it, what's striking me is, it's moving the emphasis off of, you know, me or our company, right? Mm-hmm. Into the we of being part of a larger human family.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like it extrapolates out there immediately, right? That we should help because we can.
Right.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. And I think it's just an evolution of how we define capitalism. I went to, there's a local chapter in Cincinnati of Conscious Capitalism. So it's a movement from the Whole Foods founder. And you know, someone asked the panel, well, is capitalism a bad word? Is that a bad word? And I desperately was hoping to be on that panel to answer that question. Because I think, again, there's this tension there. I think at the root, maybe the answer is no. Capitalism is in its purest form is not this bad thing. But I think what we see today is a lot of negative side effects of a self-centered version of capitalism. Capitalism as a whole that just looks at this whole landscape is a great thing, but we have to be conscious about looking at the whole landscape together.
Right, and that's, I mean, conscious of looking at the whole landscape together, right? And then what do we see? Because yes, I agree, capitalism in its pure form, nothing wrong with it, right? There's a lot of benefits to it. But when it's about this greed or selfishness or, you know, the me aspect of it, that's where we start to see some problems. But if we're looking at the landscape together and recognizing our impact, our organization's impact, that completely changes everything, that all the actions that happen after that.
Yeah.
Which is what you've been describing.
Yeah. And again, like it's the small steps, like, you know, textile is another industry that has a lot of slave labor in it. So I have to look at myself as a consumer and look at, you know, as I become educated, as I learn more, as I push myself to learn a little bit more, I'm on this journey myself, learning the small steps. And, you know, I'm wrestling with the question, well, do I buy my clothes just from the standard store shelf, or am I trying to make a more conscious effort to buy the clothes from a company that I know I can trust. Mm-hmm. The reality is I can only buy, at this time anyway, afford to buy clothes from the more conscious companies only occasionally. I just don't have that in my budget yet. But that small step is still just so important. Like, but I can make this one purchase and try it that way. Or even with coffee, maybe not everyone can afford this more specialty version of coffee, but we can do it once a month or, you know, something like that. And I just think that we have to recognize how important that small step is and that we're all on this journey together. And, you know, the journey is, 1,000 miles long, but it's just that one step. The 1,000 miles isn't going to happen unless we take that first step together.
Yeah. And it made me think of a colleague I know who works in the manufacturing space. And she made a decision a couple of years ago to only buy American made clothing. Mm-hmm. And she talked about how challenging it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you've experienced that also because a lot of our clothing is made other places around the world. And this message about the small step, I think is a really key one. And I'm curious to get your take on one aspect of it that popped to mind, which is what I sometimes have seen is that people will judge other people's small steps. Mm. You know, like, oh, that's not a big enough step, or you shouldn't take that small step. You should take this small step. Or why are you still buying your clothing off the rack? Just to use that example, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to just doing something else, buying clothing that was consciously made, et cetera. And I was just curious what your thoughts are on that, this judgment.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. I don't know. At the end of the day, it becomes noise. I mean, you just have to let it roll off. I don't know if I can answer it better than that, but that small step, we just have to believe that it is important. And I think a big part of it is, you know, we live in a society that has microwaves and drive-thrus, and we see these big things. And even with Facebook, we see the best version of everybody's story or business. We don't really see all the crap. So, and maybe even recognizing that. So we see someone that has more than us or is more successful than us, and it's probably not true as, you know, in its fullest form. So you just have to let it go and just do whatever you can. And again, the reality is not everyone can do the same steps. We just all have different gifts and abilities and different life situations, and we can just do the best that we can, and that's it.
Well, it seems that the judgment also puts us back into that, you know, it's all about, you know, sort of compartmentalizing things or being competitive versus this other message, which is, like you said, believe in yourself, have faith that what you're doing is enough.
Yeah.
Or look at places you could improve. Yeah.
We do see it. We see it a little bit in our coffee. Like a lot of people that are really into coffee, especially coffee is kind of pretentious, or can be. You know, we have coffee shops in the area where I'm not sure I even feel comfortable going into the store and asking what this new specialty drink is. And they can look down on you if you don't know. And the crazy part is, like, our brand, our roaster, our head roaster is like won all these international awards. So in terms of quality, we can play with the best of them. But as a brand, we've made a conscious decision. We are going to be about quality, but we're also going to meet people where they're at. Like, and I think this is kind of similar topic. Like, let's just recognize where we're at and just take the next step. So if someone comes into our facility, and our facility is built more like a brewery that has a tap room, so there's a lot of classes and tours that we do here. So just by that nature, it's very educational. You know, if someone comes to a tour for the first time and they learn about what coffee is and what it can be, you know, I could overwhelm them and say, here's $500 worth of equipment to have the best coffee at your home. Or I could just say, you know, maybe it just is changing the water that they use will have dramatic improvement on the level of coffee that they taste. So again, that's even a small step. And so it's just meeting people where they're at. It's removing the pretentiousness that it doesn't need to be there. It doesn't need to be there in social enterprise ideas either. Let's just all recognize we're on the journey and encourage the small step with one another rather than discourage.
Yeah, well said. Thank you for that. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about your company, your team, and how you've been shaping the internal culture. We've talked a lot about your impact on the external. I'm Claudette Rowley. This is Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your favorite transformation talk radio shows are now on Spotify. What? Simply search out your favorite host or show by name, tap the subscribe button, and boom! With over 150 million active monthly users on Spotify, Transformation Talk Radio is thrilled to expand our reach so you never have to miss an episode. Well, what the heck are you waiting for? Log into Spotify and subscribe now.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net. Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Huff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is David Gaines, who is the head of La Terza Coffee, which is a company that focuses on social enterprise. David, before we jump back in, if folks want to learn more about your company, your work, your podcast, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the coffee is laterzacoffee.com. That's L-A-T as in Tom, E-R-Z-A coffee.com. So you can see what we're up to, see the farms that we work with. You can order coffee directly. Everything ships and roasts the same day. So super fresh. And then this, yeah, all these, this conversation is just so much fun. Like I said, it's going to be finishing putting the book together, but I have started a podcast. It's literally being launched next week.
We've kind of
uploaded our information into iTunes and just kind of putting all the final touches together. But this is exactly the conversation. Like, again, here's these black and white principles, but living them out is gray, which has led me to just lots of business conversations with amazing leaders in the area, usually over coffee. And I've started to record those so that people can be included in these kinds of conversations and wrestling and things like that. One of my first episodes is going to be with someone who they have a very traditional for-profit business. They've been successful. And he and I got connected because he just wants to add a social enterprise component to his business. And he doesn't know how to do that, you know? So literally the podcast episode is just him and wrestling and how he's thinking through that. So if you want to learn more about that, that's going to be just 7seedspodcast.com. Mm. We mean that 7 seeds because of the 7 areas. But mm-hmm. then the idea that it takes a seed to grow a big tree. So a lot of these ideas are just seeds. So those seeds are really important. So 7seedspodcast.com is where you can sign up and start to see when that gets published.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. And I think it's you know, a theme throughout our conversation so far, right, is the power of the small step.
Yep.
Business, that we don't have to radically transform our company to be social rent. What's the one thing you could do differently next week, right? Or next month?
Exactly.
To keep it going. And I know before the break, I mentioned I really wanted to learn more about the Laterza culture, right? Your team, your internal culture. How have you shaped that?
Yeah, well, and this would be the second group of people that we work with, right?
Right. So one of the seeds.
Passionate about our supply chain. We do some really great stuff. All those amazing stories would end really fast if I was a jerk as a boss.
Right.
So, yeah. And honestly, I'm excited because I do think that a lot of corporate cultures are recognizing this. I think it's monetarily driven. You know, we have a lot of people that, you know, change jobs after 2 or 3 years, and that's a huge expense for businesses. So I think businesses are beginning to wake up and have the conversations. How do we create a culture that increases productivity? You know, a happy employee is one that's more productive. So I think that there's some really great energy around that. I'm trying to do some things and think through employee wellness and think through making sure that everyone feels valuable on the team and everyone's mm-hmm. role is critical. So we've been able to attract some great people to our business because of that.
And about how many people are in your business?
We have
as employees.
Yeah, we have 8 full-time people mm-hmm. and then several part-time people. And right now we're small enough to really everyone gets a voice to shape the culture. And
that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that first piece, like when I bought the business, it was about putting my friend, the founder, into his strength. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of the culture, recognizing everyone's strengths and weaknesses. We talk through the DISC assessment regularly mm-hmm. So that we are just learning each other as individuals. You know, one of our team members, he leads our maintenance department. So Laterza is our big DNA is supplying coffee shops. So, mm-hmm. and even the name itself, Laterza is Italian. And that's our way to say to Italy, hey, thanks for inventing espresso culture. We just love it.
Okay, great.
But the direct translation is the third. So there's lots of threes that show up in coffee. There are 3 major regions that coffee is sourced from throughout the world. There's Africa, Central, South America, and Southeast Asia. For us, there's really 3 big pillars that we're trying to be some of the best coffee roasters in the country. And in terms of quality of coffee, we stand on 3 pillars. So working closely with the farmer, again, that has to do with in part with the living wages, but it also creates a relationship. So we can work with them in terms of quality. The second pillar is that everything is roasted in individual batches. Again, our roaster, he is from Uganda and won the African Barista Championship 3 years in a row. He's competed in the World Barista Championships. Just he moved to Cincinnati and he sought us out, which was kind of fun. But just super talented. And we look at what is that best roast profile for each individual bean. We do a lot of single origin coffees. And then the third pillar is delivering fresh. So just everybody, whether it's through direct to consumer or for our wholesale accounts, everything is roasted and shipped the same day so that you kind of have this magic window of 7 to 10 days where coffee is just at its best. Mm-hmm. So we really try to get it to that. So, but then the third 3 is we supply coffee shops. That, and we call those third places. It's not a term that we invented, but kind of somewhat an industry term. And it gets its name because it's not your home, it's not your work, but hey, here's this third place. And so we really are trying hard to be that supplier for independent coffee shops. And we do that by, well, we have the great coffee, but we also have outlets for maintenance and equipment. So we have a whole team that does that. We do business support. And that's, I've come kind of full circle. I do a lot of small business coaching for coffee shops. And that falls underneath that umbrella. But we also do things like, you know, we're a cup distributor. So almost always for that independent coffee shop, we can supply cups at a reduced rate than what they can buy on like just a restaurant type coffee or just a, you know, a restaurant supplier, because we're buying pallets at a time and we're able to extend the cost to that person. So, so we just have, and then the fourth pillar is education. So we do a lot of training. So our team culture has been able to say like, hey, we have all these people and here's these pillars that we, verticals that the business is built on. So then we're able to find people that live into those strengths. Mm-hmm. So I was getting ready to say, at the beginning, the guy that leads our maintenance department, like he's on the autism spectrum and he's just amazing at taking things apart and putting it together. And that neurodiversity, I think, has been an amazing addition to our team. So often we look at someone that maybe has an autistic spectrum thing, that might be a negative on a team. Well, in fact, for us, it's been nothing but positive. And it's creating another kind of diversity that our team has. And it's putting him in his strength and he's thriving. And it's just been nothing but special to really see it all play out.
That, yeah, I love that. And I've been enjoying the TV show, The Good Doctor, you know, the main character has autism, and seeing the strengths that he brings. So I can imagine, right, in with the head of your maintenance department. Absolutely. What, if you were to describe your culture in a few, you know, adjectives or descriptors, what would you say?
That's a good question too. I just think, like, we do really embody the team idea. And it's empowering, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we live in the strengths, and I know that this is real basic, but we're trying to live in an ideal world. And again, we wrestle with this and we're open and honest about things with each other, but we wrestle together and we recognize that we all have the strengths and you know, like I, as a leader, I have an operations manager that I hired this year, and she's been nothing but brilliant. But the reality is, if I see what she's doing and leading, there are some operations things that I still am a part of. And if I truly trust her, then she has to lead me too. Even though I'm the organizational leader, I've put her in a position to be the manager of the operations, which includes leading me in a couple areas. So I have to just give her that because I know that that's her strength and it's not mine. So maybe recognizing the weaknesses is also just really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to explore. I have a couple more questions about that. And we're also going to learn about your coffee shop accelerator course. Terraza has a fascinating contribution they make to the community. So this is Claudette Rowley on Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. With the free Transformation Talk radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
How often do you find yourself wondering, why me? Learn a new shift in perspective to see how everything that takes place in your life is actually working for you and shifting you towards your own enlightenment. Tune in to Blank Enlightenment Radio with Misty Thompson each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit MistyMThompson.com. That's MistyMThompson.com.
Back on Cultural Brilliance Radio, I'm Claudette Rowley, here with my guest, David Gaines, head of La Terza Coffee. David, before we dive back in, do you want to share with listeners one more time your website and how they can learn about your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So laterzacoffee.com, L-A-T-E-R-Z-A coffee.com. And then the podcast information, 7seedspodcast.com. And that's seven spelled out. Not the number seven. So 7C.
Oh, that's a good distinction,
yeah,
right?
I have seven. To buy that both. I got to buy the other one too.
Okay. Yeah. 7seedspodcast.com with seven spelled out, the word seven. Got it.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about your team and, or you were talking about your team and the level of empowerment and willingness to wrestle through things together. And then you talked about this idea of, you know, how you sometimes you're leading, but also folks in the organization are leading you, and mentioned it's important to recognize weaknesses. And it made me think about how, you know, also the importance of complementing each other, right? And being aware of where you mentioned your operations person, right?
Yes.
She's really talented and brilliant. You're really talented and brilliant. And then, you know, you each have your parts, you know, aspects of yourselves where you're not, right? As we all do, and how you, it sounds like you've really learned to complement each other. So it's not competitive, right? It's no one's frustrated. It just works. Is that a fair assessment? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works most of the time, but I think the key is when it doesn't work that we talk through it.
You know? Right. Like, right.
And it's not that we're coming from a place of anger. We can't, if you create a culture, you know, let me say it even more black and white, like wellness and treating my team the way I want to be treated. It's really comes down to loving each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if we love each other, then it's going to be like family. It's going to feel like family, and we're going to be through the thick stuff together too. So we're going to be committed to each other. It's really fun to see. I have a really young team. They're more at the beginning of their careers. And it's fun to hear them talk about, like, they want this to be their job for the next 40 years, which is a complete like opposite of what we live in a society today. And I want them to be here too. So I don't know if that will play itself out, but at the same time, it's fun that we've created a culture where that's how they think. And it's really fun to see that play itself out.
No, that's great. That is really great to see that. And so speaking of great, you also have a coffee accelerator course. And I was fascinated by this when you told me about it. Coffee shop, accelerator course. So tell us about this.
So, you know, honestly, it has a lot to do with even just what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Here's these ideals that we live by. They're black and white, but real life is gray.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who come to us that want to open a coffee shop, you know, which we're very good at, but they come to us because... They love coffee, obviously, but it's the number one reason why they're starting a coffee shop is they want a safe place for their community. They want a place where people can wrestle. And even the reason why we created this coffee shop course is because we believe our society doesn't know how to talk to each other anymore. We don't know how to wrestle with the gray. Even, you know, we're taught, well, don't talk religion or politics. And I really wonder if we should have been. And I look at our politics and the climate that we live in now, and it's really breaks my heart. Like, we don't know how to talk to each other and figure this stuff out. So, you know, could a coffee shop be a place that re-invites conversation? You know, even just digitally, we have things like cell phones, and they're great technology, but with any new technology, there's some negative, right? When the car was first invented, we didn't have stoplights and crosswalks right away, and people did get hurt. So we evolved the technology to include things like seatbelts, and et cetera. I think the phone and texting and emails, they're amazing. It's accelerating what we can do with business. It's accelerating what we can do globally. But there are some negative consequences. And one of them is the lack of dialogue. So we wanted to, people that start coffee shops that are very intentional about dialogue, or again, that third place, that community living room, those coffee shops just flat out, they don't automatically make money. It's very, very difficult. And so we wanted to create a course because kind of one thing that's a little bit unique to us as a roaster is we supply a large variety of styles of coffee shops. So we have ultra urban core in downtown Cincinnati. We have one stoplight towns in Indiana and the rural areas around us. We supply coffee shops that are very wealthy. We supply coffee shops that are very poor and more on the rebound. And from our perspective, every single people group should have a community place that they can come and gather. Every single person that comes and wants is thinking about opening a coffee shop with kind of this idea in mind of conversation and dialogue should have the tools to be successful. We believe that we should have these places for dialogue. So how do we help empower that owner and remove as many barriers as possible, or equip that person with as many tools as possible to help set them up for success? I mean, it's not a guarantee, but we're giving them as many tools as we can. And because of because of the variety of styles of account, we can look at kind of our whole book, so to speak, and see the best practices and then share that with everybody else. So we created an intensive course. It's a 3-day course that you can fly into Cincinnati, and you know, the first day is kind of business 101. So we have accounting and commercial real estate, a lawyer that does a segment and really helps people get started with their business. Day two is what we just call business 201, and that's designed to be followed by the 101. But there are a lot of people that already own coffee shops. They've already have a lease. They already have the legal things that they've gotten taken care of. So this is designed to, how do you create a team culture, especially in a coffee shop? You have most often employees that are high school students or college students, and they're a little bit more in a transitional phase of life. You know, how do you, a lot of coffee shop owners might be tempted to think, well, I just can't create a team culture because I don't have these people around all that long. So we disagree with that idea, and we teach you know, how you might create a team culture even though you might only have these people for a year or two. And so the day two includes branding and your company voice and those kinds of things. So we've done the course a couple times. We're really going to ramp that up this year. And it's, we've had just some amazingly positive feedback. We're on the right track. And it's fun to see that play itself out. And again, just goes back to the idea, how do we create these spaces, and could we hopefully someday change the way that we communicate as a culture?
Yeah. And I love hearing the story, you know, about how, you know, you think it's a coffee accelerator course, you think it's about opening a coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
And it is that, but it's also about how to, you know, we know that people gather in community, they're more likely to talk and be in dialogue. And so it's all, so it has this multi, you know, it fits two different needs, and certainly this larger social vision of you know, creating environments for dialogue. And I think that's just really beautiful. way of looking at it.
When we train baristas, when we do barista training, which is also part of that course, you know, obviously it's the skill set to how to make a great drink, and we walk through that. But we have a pretty significant segment on social health. So we have a sociologist that has helped given us some content, and we really just preach that barista that gets to know the name of the regular customer. That is significant. And that barista has an opportunity to play a significant role in the social health of their very local community. So that's a big part of the content that we teach.
That's huge. And I think that, thank you for, that's a great way to end the show today, right? Which is to talk, like you, that you talk about the sociology, that you get into that, and you really give people an opportunity to be informed and learn from it. So David, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah. I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we could have talked for 3 hours, I think. And as always, I want to thank everybody for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. We always have a great time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.